A second reading is found on page 91 of the Pew Bible, Leviticus chapter 13. This is just a complement, the reading in Luke chapter 17. So Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 38. Chapters 13 and 14 are the longest in the book of Leviticus, and it's the instructions that the people were given to deal with leprosy. So Luke 13, verse 38. When a man or a woman has spots on the skin of the body, white spots, the priest shall look, and if the spots on the skin of the body are of a dull white, it is leucoderma that has broken out in the skin. He is clean. If a man's hair falls out from his head, he is bald, he is clean. And if a man's hair falls out from his forehead, he has baldness on the forehead, he is clean. But if there is on the bald head or the bald forehead a reddish, white, diseased area, it is a leprous disease breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine him, and if the diseased swelling is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, like the appearance of leprous disease in the skin of the body, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest must produce him or must pronounce him unclean. His disease is on his head. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. And when we think of these 10 lepers in the Gospel of Luke, this is a unique portion in the Gospels because Matthew, Mark, John do not mention these 10 lepers. So when anything is only mentioned once in the Bible, it's worth taking note of. There are some things that occur 3 times in the Gospels. The parable of the sower is 3 times. The feeding of the 5,000 is 4 times. It's covered by the 4 Gospels, but there are those things that are just mentioned once, and it's worth taking note of. And so we have these 10 lepers. And in verse 11, it tells us of the journeys of Jesus, of the geography. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. He didn't have to go that way. He didn't take the direct route through Samaria to Judea. But the reason why he went off the main road is because he had work to do. He had 10 needy men to meet. We don't know the name of the village. It just says, as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. I want you to see, first of all, the sickness of the 10. And then I want you to see the thanklessness of the 9. And then the gratefulness of the 1. The sickness of the 10. Leprosy was the nature of their sickness. And in Bible times, it was a most dreaded and a most dreadful disease. Even yet in some countries of the world, it may be called by a different name, like Hansen's disease. But the Bible just calls it leprosy. And as I've said, Leviticus has 27 chapters, the longest being chapters 13 and 14. Chapter 13 being the longest with 59 verses, chapter 14 with 57, and it It deals with the nature and the treatment of leprosy. And if someone had have wakened up one morning, maybe not feeling too well, but as we have read, this spot on the head, and they realized what it was, life may well have then been finished for them. They would have to leave their family. They couldn't live with their family. They would have to leave with their employment. It was an awful thing. And one has said that among the Jews, several skin diseases were classified as leprosy. One form of leprosy attacks the nerves so that the victim cannot feel pain. Infection easily sets in, and this leads to degeneration of the tissues. The limb becomes deformed and eventually falls off. Infected people were isolated and could not return to normal society until declared cleansed. Because of his defilement, a leprous person had to be isolated outside the camp. And it's good that some people maybe did recover if they were treated. As you read, I'm in these chapters, but sometimes it was a life sentence and there was no recovery. We see in those verses that we read in Leviticus 13, 45 and 46, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose so he can see his appearance. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean, so you can see his announcement. If anyone was coming near them, he had to let the people know that he was a leper. He couldn't let those people come near him. He had to call out from across the other side of the street or wherever, unclean, unclean. And if he was alone, if there was no one to talk to, those were the two words that were mostly on his lips. Unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So as well as seeing his affliction, he has a leprosy, his appearance, he has a look about him, and his announcement, you can see his address. He shall live alone. And maybe someone who was used with company. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. And leprosy in the Bible is often pictured as sin. In Isaiah, for example, chapter 1, verses 4 to 6, a sinful nation. So Isaiah is not addressing an individual. He's addressing a nation of individuals. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? And then he paints this picture. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Just like a diseased person. The nation had turned away from God. The nation was worshipping the idols, the false gods, the non-existent gods of the neighboring The nations, they had turned away from the one true God. And Isaiah is saying to them, in the sight of God, you're just like a body from head to toe, diseased. Not a pretty picture. But then leprosy wasn't either. And like sin, leprosy spreads. Early on in Leviticus 13, verses 7 and 8. But if the eruption spreads in the skin, after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest, and the priest shall look. And if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease. It spread. Might have started off with a wee spot, but then it spread throughout the whole body. Eventually killed the person. And you will read in those two chapters that even clothes and buildings could be contaminated and had to be dealt with. And what's the most famous thing about Naaman? In chapter 5 and verse 1 of 2 Kings, now Naaman was a great man. He was a great leader. He was the captain of the army of Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now, of course, Naaman was cleansed, and that's a well-known story, and many a sermon has been preached about Naaman and his cleansing. He had great credentials. He was a great man. He was a household name. He was well known in society, but he was a leper. And it doesn't matter what you are in society. It doesn't matter how you're viewed in society. We all have a but in our lives. But you're a sinner, whether you want to accept that or not. You're a sinner. We are all the same. And I sometimes think of these 10 lepers, these 10 men. I think it would be a mathematical impossibility if the 10 of them wakened up one morning and they had leprosy and they all met together on the one day. No, I can picture one of these men developing leprosy, and he had to come outside this village. Maybe a mother man. Maybe they knew this man. Maybe they didn't. But they would have seen him. He would have shouted, "Unclean! Unclean!" And if they were on the same side of the street as him, they had to pass over and avoid him. And maybe they were saying, "Oh, boys, I'm glad that's not me. I'm glad I'm not like that. Look at the state of him. I'm glad that's not me." But there came maybe a morning, weeks, months later on, when he had to go and join him. Maybe the 10 of them were a mixture of rich and poor, married, unmarried, married with a family, married with no family, maybe grandchildren, men who were 60s, 70s, 80s, maybe some in their 20s, 30s. What a mixture. And you can see that they were of a mixed nationality. 9 were Jewish, 1 was a Samaritan. And remember, it says in John chapter 4, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. The Jews looked upon themselves as pedigrees. They looked upon the Samaritans as mongrels. 2 Kings chapter 17 tells the story there. That the Samaritans were of a mixed race. The Jews looked down upon them. Treated them like dirt. Despised them. But here is one Samaritan along with 9 Jews. Do you think they made any difference with him? No, they didn't, because they all had the same thing. They were lepers. And we can look across our world today. You can look at rich and poor. There are those who are mega rich. You can look at your TV screens and see crowds of people. The World Cup has just finished. And you know, you look at the thousands of spectators in the stadiums watching the 22 millionaires running about showing their skills with the ball. But everyone is a sinner. The richest man on the pitch, the poorest person in the stands, all the same, sinners. Doesn't matter. Think of the royal family. Think of the royal family of any country you want. It doesn't matter. For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. So I have thought of, you know, it doesn't even mention their names. It just says he was met by 10 lepers. And we don't know their names. We don't know their backgrounds. Some of them may even have been single. Perhaps they had different interests in life. But whatever. Someone has said that misery loves company. And when one is afflicted with leprosy, nationality ceases to be a barrier to fellowship. And here's where disease brought Jew and Samaritan together. And one has said, what difference does birth make if you are experiencing a living death? Can you picture the 10 of them? I'm sure they had their conversations. Well, when did you first come here? And when did you first notice that you had leprosy? And it's like a wee brotherhood developed. Nothing else mattered. Their backgrounds, their interest, it didn't matter. They were now lumped together. They were lepers. Their future was bleak. They were headed for misery. One by one, they would die off. 10 would become 9, 9, 8, until maybe one was left lamenting that he has lost 9 friends. Maybe he's so miserable that he wishes he had been the first. Because leprosy was a disease that got worse. And you became more disfigured and more helpless. We don't know what stages that they were at, but they were miserable. But these 10 men seized the opportunity to do something about their awful state. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance because they had to. And they lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So they all said the same thing. These 10 men, 9 Jews, 1 a Samaritan, they all had the same need. And they all looked to the same one who could help them in their need. And that was Jesus Christ. And that's the same with the gospel today. All religious roads do not lead to heaven. Only one way does. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ was their only hope, 2,000 years on, he is our only hope. There is no one else. Jesus has died upon the cross, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was passing by. This is the only time this is mentioned in the Gospels. Jesus was passing by, and they were going to seize the opportunity. 'To make their need known to him. You know, they could have said, oh, look, sit down and content yourself. Sure, he might come by this way tomorrow. Oh, leave it for a day or two. Sure, we'll call some other time. They seized the opportunity. Jesus was passing by. How many times maybe has Jesus passed by and you have not called upon him? Do you think he'll call by again? Maybe he will. Maybe he won't. Isaiah 55 and 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So these 10 men of mixed nationality, just a mixture of men, these 10 men seized the opportunity to do something about their awful state. They called upon the Lord while he passed by. Maybe the Lord, as he entered a village, maybe it was the only time he was in such a village. Maybe he was never in this village before. Maybe he was never going to be in this village again. Just once this village would receive a visit during the earthly ministry of Jesus. But these 10 men obeyed the word of God. They lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now there are some miracles where Jesus would have touched the person. But here he didn't touch them, he just spoke to them. And he simply said, go and show yourselves to the priests. Because that was the thing to do. They had to go and see the priest. The priest had to examine them to see if they were clean or unclean. And they maybe, as we read, they had to maybe go back a second time, maybe a third time, until they were declared clean or unclean. But Jesus said, go and show yourselves to the priests. Now these 10 men, or one of the men or two of the men, could have said, is that it? Is that all we have to do? You know, we have heard of other miracles where you've touched a person. You know, it's been more sensational and miraculous, and you've simply told us to go to the priest. Maybe some of them could hardly move. Maybe their limbs were twisted with leprosy. Some of the able-bodied ones had to help others along the road to go and see the priest. These were the words of Jesus, go and show yourselves to the priests. And once they obeyed that, that's when the healing took place. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. And the healing was done, it seems, before they had even reached the priest. And as they would have gone to the priest, then the priest would have declared them clean. They're cleansed. The priest would have examined them. They were cleansed from their leprosy. They had to obey Scripture before they were cleansed. Go show yourselves to the priests, because Jesus might have had Deuteronomy 24 and verse 8 in mind. Take care in a case of leprous disease to be very careful to do according to all that the Levitical priests shall direct you. As I commanded them, so you shall be careful to do. Go show yourselves to the priests. That took faith. And it's by grace that we are saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. They had faith in the words of Jesus. Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one has said, sinners defiled with the leprosy of sin should put faith in the Lord Jesus and obey his commands with the fullest confidence that he is able to heal them and that he will do it if they follow his directions, and that in due time they shall have the fullest evidence that their peace is made with God and that their souls shall by him be declared free from the defilement of sin. You know, whenever you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, there's maybe nothing spectacular or sensational that will take place. Not everybody has a Damascus Road experience. You simply trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I was saved when I was 11 years of age in P7. At the end of a children's meeting, one Friday night, I simply asked Jesus into my heart. Just a simple prayer, a simple understanding of things at that age. But over the weeks and months, I knew what I had done. And I knew it was real. Go show yourselves to the priests. They obeyed the word of God. The Bible told me that I must be born again. Then I have to obey that. That's the word of Jesus. The sickness of the 10, and we'll get through these quickly. The thanklessness of the 9, verses 17 and 18. Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? And it says, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. More about him in a minute. But the thanklessness of the 9. American commentator and pastor Warren Wiersbe says, you would have expected all 10 men to run to Jesus and thank him for a new start in life. How grateful the men should have been for the providence of God that brought Jesus into their area, for the love that caused him to pay attention to them and their need, and for the grace and power of God that brought about their healing. They should have formed an impromptu men's chorus and sung Psalm 103 together. Too often we are content to enjoy the gift, but we forget the giver. We are quick to pray, but slow to praise. Jesus asked, where are the 9? Is he still asking that question? Where are the 9? Look what the Lord has done for you. Where's your praise? Where are the 9? Thanklessness is a sin. We are to thank him for everything. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. We all have circumstances. Have we thanked God in those circumstances? Things could maybe be much worse in those circumstances. But God has held back the worse from us. Give thanks in all circumstances. The sickness of the 10, the thanklessness of the 9, but we see the gratefulness of the 1. Verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Then there's another wee short sentence that makes the difference. Now he was a Samaritan. You would have expected the 9 Jews who knew better, who knew their Old Testaments better, you would have expected them to have turned and come to thank Jesus. But they went on to the priest. But this Samaritan fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was healed in body and soul, because verse 19 says, and he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. He had faith. Your faith has made you well. We never read of these 10 again. But their lives were transformed because they met Jesus in the village that day. And if you met the Lord Jesus in the village of Ahakal today, your life would be transformed for the rest of it and then for all eternity. Now, he was a Samaritan. And sometimes it's the least privileged that will be in heaven rather than the most privileged. There are people who maybe are hearing the gospel today for the first time and believing it and receiving the one that it's all about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet you have heard all your life, from Sunday school days right up through teens, 20s, right through. You've lost count. And still, you're a sinner. You're a leper in God's sight. The gratefulness of the one. I've preached this message before, some years ago, and after I'd preached it, I came across this article in a magazine, and I'm just going to finish off. But the writer says, but I also tremble when I ask myself the obvious question, if I had been among those 10 men healed that day, would I have run away with the 9 or bowed down with the 1? Would I have rushed off to enjoy the gift or stopped to thank the giver? In short, would Jesus have found in me a grateful heart? Does he find in us this morning a grateful heart? Here's this writer's take on the 10 lepers. Each one of the 10 had a tale of personal horror to tell, but the stories were all the same. The nightmare had crept slowly across their bodies, white patches, lumps in the skin. Then the numbness had crawled up their limbs, stealing the feeling from fingers and toes. Finally, the faces had grown disfigured beyond recognition, and all that remained of the feet were crippled nubs. Worst of all were the jeers from the children whenever the men passed too near a village. Lepers, they screamed, spitting the word like a curse. So long ago, these 10 had been young and handsome, healthy and well-to-do, full of desires and dreams, but that seemed like another world, another lifetime. Now they were the walking dead. One morning, as they approached yet another village to beg, the crowds were cheering the name that for months had spread like a whispered wildfire through the leper colony, Jesus. The leper healer from Nazareth stood by the village well, not far from the twisted outcasts, and he was looking their way. All at once, 10 hoarse voices erupted in unison, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." He smiled, the first smile turned in their direction for many years, and said simply, "Go show yourselves to the priests." He hadn't even touched them. The 10 examined one another. Clearly nothing had changed. Were they once again the butt of a cruel joke? One of them, a Samaritan, turned back to the road, set his face toward Jerusalem and the temple, and motioned for his comrades to join him. "If the priests throw me out," he said, "then let the crowds stone me. What's left to live for?" He hobbled down the dusty path, his crutch making holes in the scorched clay. And as the others followed, the miracle came. They were cleansed suddenly, totally, unconditionally. 9 men shouted and raced down the road like boys in a game, peeling off their rags to welcome the sunshine on their now childlike skin. They never even looked back, never saw the face whose light had dawned on their darkness and ended their nightmare. But one man, the Samaritan, spun round, ran to Jesus, flung himself at his feet. Tears spilled down cleansed cheeks. He looked up, trembling, and whispered 2 words, "Thank you." And those are the words that maybe Jesus wants to hear from you today.